Hey, I'm Emily Chenevert, advocacy nerd, Peloton enthusiast, wife and mama to two, and CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. Every day, real estate is changing, so we're taking it to the experts to unpack major topics that you need to know about to be successful in this business. Scratch what you think you know about this business and listen up for a fresh take on an old industry. Simon Sinek says find your why, but Tim Heil says your who is the better question. Who can take you to the next level when you've hit the ceiling in your business that you feel like you just can't overcome? I sat down with the founder and CEO of Homeward and nationally recognized team leader Tim to talk about how he's working to solve consumer pain points without cutting agents out of the process. We talked about what he's learned in this business and the future of how he thinks we can continue to solve problems with agents still being at the center of transactions. We started talking about why he started Homeward and what it's all about.
Being a real estate agent for 11 years now, I have seen every situation under the sun for home buyers and home sellers.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as real estate agents, we all know that there's no cookie cutter scenario. There's no like one size fits all. Every human that is trying to buy a home or sell a home or just move in general has their own motivating factors, right? It could be job change, or it could be like school zones that they're trying to get into, or it could be downsizing or upsizing, or, you know, and then within those categories, there's like personal motivating reasons, you know, reasons why they're trying to get into that school zone or whatever. And so timing is different. And some customers prioritize convenience, but others prioritize savings and trying to, like, you know, keep as much money as they possibly can throughout the move. And everybody emphasizes something different based on their situation. And so I've learned, you know, over the years that there is no one size fits all solution to like bettering our industry. And I think what I've been on sort of this super curious journey for many years to try and figure out, to try and clarify in my own mind, what are, like, we all know that buying and selling a home can be stressful. Mm-hmm. You see the reports all over the place where it's like, you know, the most stressful life event is divorce.
Yeah.
And then the second most stressful life event is moving.
Yeah.
Right.
And it might depend on the transaction. It could go both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, I've been trying to clarify in my own mind, what is it, if I had to bucket it into a couple of categories, what are the things that make moving stressful? And then within those buckets, I've tried to think of all the family scenarios that I've been through with customers that I've worked with and tried to really like make the connection of, you know, what is it that we're trying to solve for here? I think a lot of the innovation that I've seen over the years come out has been like anti-agent. It's been like, you know, oh, the agents charge too much money, so we're gonna change that. We're gonna lower the fees. Or it's like, you know, agents make the transaction stressful because they don't know what they're doing. And it's like, there's been all these sort of accusations. And it's honestly, it's frustrating being a real estate agent and hearing that in the news and seeing progress in our industry, but sort of coming at the expense of the real estate agent when really, you know, we're here to help the customers. We wake up every day trying to figure out, these are our friends, our family members, our, you know, past clients, and we're trying to figure out like how to help them. And I think the tide is turning, and even investors, venture capitalists and private equity firms that are investing in the space are starting to realize that actually the path to bettering the home buying experience isn't disrupting the agent, it's enabling the agent to help the customer in greater ways than they've ever been able to before.
And so the pain point that you solved for or are trying to solve for with Homeward is bridging the gap between, I'm in my current property, I've got to get rid of that one before I can upgrade or downgrade to the next move.
Yeah.
It's that transitional piece, yeah?
Yeah, 43% of people who are buying a home are also selling a home. Right.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge part of the market. And what we realize is that most of those people, I would go in listing appointment after listing appointment after listing appointment. I'd sit at the kitchen counter and the homeowner would be like, Tim, we've decided we want to hire you. And I'm like, yes. And, you know, I'm thinking in my mind and they're going, but we don't want you to list our house like anytime soon. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, we have no intention of listing our home without knowing where we're going next.
Mm.
And I'd sit there and be like, no problem. Let's start looking at houses. I'll take you around town. We'll go, you know, we'll go look at anything you want. We'll set up a search on MLS. And they're like, no. We don't want to do that either because we've already like gone down that path. And whenever a house pops up that we like, we can't make an offer on it anyway, and then it gets snatched up in one day with multiple offers, and you know, we lose it. So we have no interest in going out and looking for one when we can't make an offer, but we also have no interest in listing our house without knowing where we're going next, because we'd have to move twice or be at risk of, you know.
So we're super excited to go nowhere, because we don't have the flexibility to move up until we get rid of the one we've got.
That's right. And it sort of paralyzes homeowners. I was one of those. My wife and I, we wanted to move, and we felt that same thing, and the property popped up. We actually made an offer on it and put it under contract. And then in the option period, we went, what are we doing? Like, we have to sell our house before we can actually do this. And so we canceled the contract, ended up listing our house, moved into an interim property, and then ended up buying a property when it popped up. And so we did that double move.
Yeah.
And so then I got to feel it, right? It was like I had witnessed it as a listing agent. And then I got to actually feel the, oh, wait a minute. You know, I actually have to, I need my home equity. That's actually the majority. I've got of all my assets, like the majority of my assets are tied up in my home equity. I need that to make my next move. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do, is we at the core, we help homeowners buy their next home mm-hmm. before they sell their existing one. And we do it through real estate agents. When Homeward allows a home buyer to use our funds to make an all cash offer on the home they want to buy, mm-hmm. we're taking risk that homeowner is going to be able to list and sell their home.
Right.
And so we're not interested in working with a for sale by owner who, you know, may like throw a sign in the yard and like and overprice the property and hope that it sells. We want to make sure that property is going to sell. So every Homeward customer is required to be working with a real estate agent.
Okay.
So we really, really value.
With any specific criteria in place? Like one that is in your network?
No.
Just at large?
So they can work with any real estate agent that they already have. So mm-hmm. when a customer comes to Homeward, one of the very first questions that they get asked in the application is, who's your real estate agent? Do you have a real estate agent you love? And they say, yes, we do. And then they give the name of the agent. It pipes the agent into the transaction. Mm-hmm. And they become an immediate part of the Homeward offer.
Okay.
If they say, no, we don't have an agent, we say, great, well, we require you to have one to move forward. Would you like to get connected with a Homeward certified agent?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they say yes, then we go ahead and connect them with somebody who's already been trained up on the Homeward process and is what we call an HCA, a Homeward certified agent.
To go back to one of your original points was, look, so many times when we've innovated in this industry, we do it in a way that actually deteriorates our value proposition as agents. Right?
Yeah.
And so here's a question to you. Are you a vendor or a brokerage or both?
Does
it matter if you're a broker that's a vendor? Because we're seeing those lines blurred in all kinds of business models and formats. And it is, you know, it's an interesting one when you think about your access to the MLS is one built on the back of being a participant broker, not a vendor, because you don't license content in the same way. There's some nuance to that.
Yeah, it's funny. I've always not really liked the word vendor.
Yeah. It's kind of ugly word,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just a vendor.
Yeah. But we're certainly not the broker, right? You know, I like to think of Homeward as really just a home buying solution.
A tool?
Yeah. It's a tool. We refer to it as a solution because the reality is, the customer has a problem. They want to use their home equity to buy before they sell. And Homeward is that solution. It allows the agent to now be the solution. I think like as a real estate agent myself, one of the things I learned early on was how to lead generate.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Gary Keller taught me. And I just through every book and every podcast, everything that I followed from him, he taught me that really when you become a real estate agent, you immediately have made the decision to get into two businesses. Whenever you become an entrepreneur of any type, you get into two businesses, the business of lead generation and the business of whatever it is that you do, right? And so if you like start a bakery, you become like a lead generator and a baker.
Yeah.
And if you don't get the lead generation part right, you don't really earn the opportunity to be the baker.
Yeah.
And with a real estate agent, it's the same thing. You become, if you don't get lead gen right, then you don't earn the opportunity to be the agent because you have no one to help. And so I sort of obsessed around how do I get customers early on in my career. And one of the challenges, I didn't want to call people that I knew, friends and family members, because I felt like I was sort of being needy. I felt like calling them to say like, hey, when you think of buying or selling, think of me, or who do you know that I can that you can use me to sell their home? Like I just felt like I didn't like making that call.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I wanted to add value.
Mm-hmm.
And that always sort of frustrated me. And so one of the things that drove me to go figure out what's a problem and what's a core problem and what's a solution to that problem is I wanted a calling card so that when I call my friends, when I call my family, when I call my past clients, I can call and I can say, hey, one of the biggest problems that homeowners have like yourself is that you have all this equity and you need it to buy your next house. Mm-hmm. Who do you know that's trying to move and doesn't want to list without knowing where they're going next? Mm-hmm. I can help them.
Yeah.
And so Homeward is basically the tool that agents can use now as a calling card to actually come from value and go find customers and have a reason to call those customers that's actually helping them and not having to just ask for something.
So given the proliferation of iBuyer programs, they're solving for a similar problem in the sense that it's instant gratification. I can sell my house, cash offer, and be done. How do you feel like you're differentiating?
I was tinkering for years on what is the right problem to tackle.
Yeah.
And it was the iBuyer gaining traction that helped me get to the place that ultimately Homeward landed on. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the iBuyer solves an incredible problem. It's essentially your home equity is not liquid, and they solve it by giving you certainty. Here's exactly how much you can have from your home, and convenience. Now that you know it, go do whatever you need to do in the order you want to do it in, right? So certainty and convenience are these two core things the iBuyer offers and promises. And I just felt like, wow, like they did it. They solved it. Like that's the thing I've been looking for. And then I realized as I really studied the model, I realized that like there's a mathematical problem with this model. Either the iBuyer offers like market value and has a negative business model where they're losing money. The more customers that they serve, the more money they lose. Mm-hmm. And like that's not really investable or good business. Or they offer a discount, you know, 5 or 10% discount on the home, mm-hmm. in which case that's like not good for the customer, right? That's 5 or 10%. When you trade your car in, 5 or 10% may be like a couple $1,000s. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's worth the convenience. But when you trade your home in, 5 or 10% could be 30 grand or 40 grand. That's you know, life-changing. And that's a big deal. And so I felt like, wow, they solved the right problem, but maybe with not the right solution.
Yeah.
And so that kind of set down the path of like, okay, convenience and certainty by helping create liquidity with your home equity. But how can we do it in a way where the customer can both get the best deal on the home they're buying and also maximize the value from the home they're selling? And we can do it in a way that doesn't kick the agent out of the process while we're doing it.
And that really does make it a more accessible tool for agents in the sense that they don't feel vulnerable when throwing up that option.
Yeah.
In the same way that they sometimes do with iBuyer.
That's right. We had a real estate agent recently reach out to us, and he said, hey, I'm about to lose my, it was a past client of his. So like somebody super close, he said, I'm about to lose them to an iBuyer. I won't say which brand, but he said, I'm really frustrated because not only am I going to lose out on the listing commission because there's not going to be a listing, but they're offering the customer a discount on the buying commission if they work with them also.
Yep.
And the offer for the home is $135,000. But I just did a CMA and I think it's worth 175. Mm-hmm. So I feel like not only am I losing, but my customer's losing. And so Homeward went in and we give for every customer what's called a floor price. Mm-hmm. And the floor price is our commitment to purchase the home. And in a worst case scenario, if your home is unable to sell for above our floor price, you'll have the option to sell it at that price after a few months on the market.
Okay.
And so sort of our worst case scenario is sort of comparable to an iBuyer best case scenario.
Right.
In this situation, our floor price came in at like 145. So it actually came in higher than the iBuyer price, which made it a no-brainer for the customer to say, okay, I'll work with Homeward. So what happened was the customer made an all-cash offer on the home they were buying with the Homeward's funds. They got a $10,000 discount compared to what they were going to be getting the property for. The agent made the full 3% buyer commission representing them in the negotiation. The agent listed the home, sold it for $168,000, so made his full 3% commission, and the customer made over $30,000 more than if they would have sold the property to the iBuyer.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of like, this is why we started Homeward, is so the customer got what they wanted, which was, there's a house I'm trying to get. I want to get it. I want to get it right now. And I want to move into it. And I want to deal with my old home later or not at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here and have to deal with this first and miss out on that property.
Mm-hmm.
We helped the customer buy before they sold. Actually, at the end of the day, Dane, the agent, helped the customer buy before they sold by bringing them here and like activating this as a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked away with $30,000 more on a $150,000 property. It's not insignificant.
Sounds too good to be true, which is never accurate. How's the fee structure work?
So the customer pays a 1.9% fee on the home that they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
In this scenario, I think the home they were buying was in the $200,000 range, so 1.9% on that. There's two things that the customer pays: the 1.9% fee plus the rent for the time that
the
they
lease back.
Yeah, the lease back. So mm-hmm. what happens is when Homeward purchases the property cash, The customer immediately gets possession of the property through the leaseback, and it's just a daily prorated expense, and that's a pass-through for just our cost to hold the property. Some of our customers lease the property back for as low as like a couple of days because they listed their house the moment we put the new one under contract and they got it sold. And other customers, they don't even list the house until they've moved into the new one.
Yeah.
They clean up the old one. They get it ready for the market. They take their time.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there for showings.
There's and the convenience factor.
There's the convenience factor. And so there's the flexibility to optimize for whichever one you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so our average customer is in the property for 45 days. So about a month and a half before they end up getting their mortgage and purchasing it.
Yeah.
And so the cool thing about both the rent and the 1.9% convenience fee is that they can roll those into the mortgage or they can use their home equity to pay for them. So they don't have to pay them up front or in real time. They actually can either just tack it on to the price of the house. They, you know, they've used the all cash offer to negotiate the best deal possible.
Yeah.
They can just tack on the fee to the price of the house, or they can use their home equity once they sell their existing one.
Congratulations, Van. It's incredible to not just complain about the pain point that our consumers feel or complain about what we can and cannot do with it and that vendors are coming for us as agent population, but really to solve that problem and do it in a way that's beneficial to your peers.
I really appreciate that. I think as real estate agents, we realize that there is so much more to the transaction than just like agent fees.
Yeah.
And from outside looking in, it looks like, oh, agents charge a bunch of money and that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's actually not the problem. If that was the problem, then that would have been solved for long ago. There are actually dozens of problems, right? And what we realize—
I was like, wait, there's only one?
Yeah, you know.
Maybe we should get after that.
Exactly. So what we realize is a large stemming of the problem is in the financial equation of the transaction, you know, the actual instrument you use and the risks that are being taken.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's start there and let's start working on it from that step of the process. So
yeah. We're
really excited. I'm having a blast.
Good.
I'm having a blast because I'm working with, you just met a few minutes ago, one of my friends that we just had an agent here in Austin bring his seventh customer to Homeward.
That's awesome.
Seventh customer, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes me excited is that this isn't just like a business that's being created to help customers or make money or whatever. This is something that like my friends who I've been working with for 11 years now are going, yes,
yeah.
Like I'm going to go use this. And it's fun. It makes it exciting for me.
Operating in Texas, Colorado, one more.
And Georgia.
Yeah. Plans to expand?
Yes, plans to expand for sure. Over the next year, we're not adding markets right now. We are just optimizing and making sure that we're doing the best jobs in the places that we are.
Hey y'all, I want to take a quick break to tell you about ThinkUp. ABOR is bringing a two-day professional development conference to Austin on April 7th and 8th. This is a high-energy experience and is not to be missed. We're bringing in major players in the real estate industry, such as Gary Keller, Hal Elrod, and our Scratch That alum, Joseph Rand. And we're announcing more speakers every week. I want you to come, work all day, stay all day, and we're going to bring immediate impact to your business. Go to www.thinkupaustin.com to learn more and register today. I really hope to see you there. Now let's get back to our episode. So I'd be remiss in not talking to you about your team's background.
Yeah,
and
one
your.
Of my favorite things to talk
I mean,
about.
There are a few people who have been coached by Gary Keller, not that many. One of the things I think is really interesting about you is how young your success came to you.
Yeah.
I'm a fairly young CEO and have had challenges and really great experiences with that. But what do you feel like gave you the confidence to just get after it the way that you have in this business?
I couldn't get a job out of college.
Oh, yeah. No other options.
You know, I think that when you're backed into a corner, you learn a lot about yourself that you didn't know. And
Could you not get one because you didn't want to settle for a desk? Or could you not get one because it was just a hard time to get a job?
No, at the time, I would have settled for anything, unfortunately.
Got it. Yeah.
I was a finance major in 2009, and I was applying for banking jobs, finance jobs, and turns out, like, there was a reason I wasn't getting hired. You know, it wasn't for me. I wasn't the right fit for that role. But it was also a tough time to get a finance job just in general.
Sure.
But I had gotten my real estate license, and I was reading The Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller. Somebody had given it to me. And I thought I would just skim it real quick and put it down, but I just poured into it and read it backwards and forwards and took notes. And by the time I was done, I just decided, like, this is the thing I'm going to go do.
Yeah.
It spoke to my entrepreneurial bug that I didn't even know I had. And I got so excited. So I showed up to work And like most real estate agents, I like didn't know anything to do. So I sort of just moseyed around and wasted a bunch of time and then went home.
Yeah.
And it took me about 6 months before I finally realized, okay, it clicked with me, that thing I said earlier, which is like, oh, I'm in the business of lead gen first. And if I figure that out, then I get to earn the right to be a real estate agent as well. Then I started just pouring into everything that I didn't meet Gary for when I turned 24. So it was 3 years after I started. I won the Austin Business Journal top agent thing.
Yep. Just this little thing.
Well, and that's when I guess Gary read it in the paper and he sent me an email. And he said, hey, you're in my company and it turns out you're doing some things right. Let's have a phone call. So I jumped on the phone with him and he said, what are you doing? How did you do this business so fast? And I said, and I just sort of like walked him through my strategy. He's like, oh, you know, I wrote about that in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And I'm like, yeah, that's been my textbook. You know, I just copied it. And so,
yes, you're selling copies of that. Yeah. And people are putting it into play.
That's right. And so I think that for me sort of he invited me into he was running a class with like 100 people in it. And he said, why don't you come and sit in the back? And I sat in the back and I probably participated more than anybody else in the classroom and started to sort of get some group time with Gary Keller and just started learning a ton.
What do you feel like is the number one takeaway you've taken from that kind of personal mentorship with him?
Whoever has the best talent wins and nobody succeeds alone. Those would be like the two things that when I think of like everything I've learned from Gary, a friend of mine recently got to spend some time with him. And I said, hey, like, there's probably an opportunity around the corner if he wants to sit down and meet with you. And he said, oh, Gary's not a recruiter. Like, he's probably just wanting to, like, I don't know why he's wanting to meet with me. I said, Gary's not a recruiter. I was like, the best CEOs in the world are constantly looking for talent. What I learned from Gary is that every conversation with every human being on the planet is like when you're building something and you have big goals and big dreams, you know that like there's very little you're going to be able to actually do.
Yeah.
The best thing that you can do is focus on building the right team. And honestly, Gary, that's all the time, everywhere he goes, always what he's doing is he's building a team.
Yeah.
And I think that's how championship teams are built, is that like that's the core focus. And he's really helped me to think that way.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly looking for, you know, just the people with aligned values, with big goals and big dreams that, you know, that want to go build stuff. And just that mentality and thinking that way has really allowed me to maybe make a bigger impact than I could have ever made on my own. I hit my own personal ceiling of achievement a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been about how can I keep going further with other people.
That resonates with me. I was in a room full of just ABOR's leadership yesterday, our staff leadership, and talking with especially newer supervisors and newer managers about if you don't have a really keen awareness about where your weaknesses are and you're not backfilling for those problems, you will not succeed.
Yes.
There are things that I am great at. There are lots of things I'm bad at. And thank God the people around me are very good at those things.
Yes.
And I think that's the benefit of having a community around you and a team that supports your efforts and supports your vision.
I can just hear in my mind right now, I can hear Gary saying, when you're hitting a ceiling, and you can no longer go forward, you're missing a relationship. So he always says that, and it's helped me to, when I feel like I'm butting my head up against a wall, I used to get frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, man, you know, I'm a bad manager, or I'm like not good at this thing, whatever it is. I need to get better at this thing. And now I don't do that. When I'm butting my head up against a wall, I just take a step back and I go, who's the right person who can solve this better than me? The question who is like one of the most powerful questions you can ask yourself.
Huh.
And it just totally takes you to a different place and helps you to go so much further, so much faster.
And who
isn't always an employee? Like, it might be a mentor or a coach.
Yeah.
It might just be a friend. It could be anything, but it's like, I'm not getting there. I'm hitting a ceiling. Who can help me get past this?
What's that nugget that a brand new agent, brand new team member needs to understand to just get going? It's a hard business. You know, getting into it in the beginning is really scary. You were young and apparently filled with enough ego to feel like you could just hit that ground running, which is amazing.
Hey,
but that's hard.
I really didn't hit it running. Like, I promise, the first 6 months.
What'd you tell me? 3 years and top selling agent.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, the first 6 months, I was playing video games by 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I didn't know what else to do. I had
not the industry's fault or yours.
Yeah, well that was my own fault. But I just ran out of things to do at the office, and so I just went home. And I was like, I don't know what else to go do.
Yeah.
And so I would say number one, I am obviously, like, this is my background, so I'm going to be a little skewed when I say this. Sure. But if you're if you're new to this business, you should join a team. And the reason why I think you should join a team is because it can be very lonely. And mm-hmm. when you don't know what you're doing, it can be very, very hard to get on the right path fast. Mm-hmm. I was like one of the luckiest people on the planet. I just happened to, and when I look back, I was very blessed to have the right, whether it was the team leader of my office or the top agent at my office at the time, or, you know, at every stage, there was always somebody who, not by my accord, but by theirs, like, came and, like, sought me out and helped develop me to the next level.
Yeah.
It was maybe like a sales or like a boot camp that I accidentally went to that I didn't even know what I was getting into or whatever.
Sure.
And I went down a very fortunate path, but most people aren't as fortunate as I was to have all the right people at the right times. Mm-hmm. If you want to, like, proactively take the reins, go put yourself in that position, go find a team that is running at a successful pace. Mm-hmm. And when you go work there, you don't have to work there forever. You work there for a year, but that year will be like 10 years of learning on your own.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I would say, because what the team's going to do is they're going to say, here's what time you need to come in every day,
yeah.
right? So there's some accountability.
Put some guardrails out.
Yeah, and then sure. when you get here, here's the thing that you should do. And then, like, and here's how you should do it.
Yeah.
Well, like, those things, that's what you get when you join a company or, like, start a job. But when you get into real estate, you don't get all those things. And
right,
so right. I think there's a lot of value in that. The other thing I would say is that consistency is the secret sauce to success. Mm-hmm. And that's not just in real estate or sales or that's in anything that you do.
Yeah.
That's like if you're trying to lose weight or if you're trying to, you know, like, build a relationship with somebody or whatever, like, consistency, consistent action mm-hmm. over and over and over and over and over again will get you there, but it'll get you there. The other thing I would say is, like, delayed gratification over instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be committed to delayed gratification in this business and consistent action to get there. And most people that I've worked with, even in my own company over the course of 11 years, like, they give up too early. They give mm-hmm. up too soon. And I think those people, like, if you look at the top 5% of real estate agents here in the Austin Board of Realtors,
yeah.
You know, they have been consistent over a long period of time.
Yeah.
These aren't people that joined the industry last year and just, like, rose to success. Like, my first three and a half years, I promise you, the first 6 months were ugly. The next 3 years after that were some of the most grueling, mm-hmm. boring, dull, sitting in a closet on the phone and then driving all over town from, like, north of Georgetown to, yeah. like, out by Lago Vista, taking the least ideal listings and working with the least motivated buyers and, like, just, you know, starting with what I could start with.
Sure.
And what happened was every customer gave me a little more validity, a little more confidence, a little more ability to go get, like, the next level customer and the next level customer and the next level customer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, friends and family that I was embarrassed to reach out to before were calling me asking for real estate advice.
Yeah.
And I didn't get there by working million-dollar homes in Westlake where I grew up. I got there by working out in Hutto
mm-hmm.
and in Bastrop and
mm-hmm.
like the least ideal, furthest areas, low price point. And it was just doing a bunch of those that got me to the next level. But it was consistency
mm-hmm.
over a long period of time. 3 years doesn't sound like a long period of time for us now because we're a
yeah.
little bit older. But when you graduate college or when you start a career, 3 years seems like a long time.
3 years is a long time without income,
yeah.
too,
oh
which is
gosh.
Essentially the business that, you know, that's the nature of this business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
yeah. And I think you're really speaking to the fact that perseverance is a mindset that you have to be successful in this business.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's hard.
And you gotta ask the question, who?
Yeah.
Who's the mentor? I had a mentor at every step of the game. And now it's very purposeful for me. Who are my mentors?
Yeah.
In what areas? But at that time, I lucked into it, and most people won't luck into it. So if you're listening, like, and you don't have, like, a quality mentor, for at least for real estate or for the areas of your life you care about, you got to go do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go figure out who can that person be. And by the way, you don't get to have Gary Keller. Like, you have to start with, you know, the guy who offices next to you who does twice as much business as you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great mentor for right now.
Yeah.
And then you'll level up and you'll level up and you'll level up.
That's such good advice. So we'll let's leave on the who, because I think that's a good point. I think it's a really good tactical, you know, opportunity for somebody to think, you know, who's my next who that's going to get me to that next level? What ceiling am I hitting and how do I need to backfill for that?
Yes.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thanks so much for hanging out
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Appreciate
Thanks for doing
you.
It.
You bet. Thanks for tuning in. Like what you hear? Let's continue this conversation. Give us some love by leaving us a review on iTunes and let your friends know about the show by sharing this episode on social media. You can also follow along and tag me at M. Chenevert. That's E-M Chenevert. Until next time.